chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we're looking at Christmas characters. Christmas characters. And there are so many that we could look at. We've only looked at Mary and Joseph so far because of the disruption we had with the weather and the children's nativities then being done twice because of the weather. We're a little bit behind on our Christmas characters, but there's so many you could look at. We obviously look at Mary and Joseph so far. You've got the innkeeper, which I always find a fascinating character because he's been portrayed in quite a bad light. The man who turned the family away at Christmas time, but I don't think he did turn them away. I think he gave them what he had, because all the Bible says was that Christ was laid in the manger because there was no room in the inn. But he's the character we could look at. There's the shepherds that we could look at, the wise men, Herod, Anna. There's so many people that surround the Christmas story. And there's one character, I mentioned Anna, we've looked at her when we looked at little-known characters of the Bible, but she is a character that is around at the same time of the character that I want to look at today. And he's found in Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of the purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer sacrifice according to that which said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together this morning. We thank you again for the opportunity we have, especially at this time of year, to tell others about not only the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the importance of his death upon the cross of Calvary for all man to have forgiveness of sin. Father, we pray that as we again reflect upon Christ's birth, may, Lord, we regain a sense of wonder, as it were. May we understand the importance that we have, Lord, to live a holy life in front of so many people because of all that Christ has done for us and all that Christ means to us. Father, I pray you'd help us to see as we look at the life of Simeon, what it means to do just that, to live a life that is pleasing unto thee and a witness to others. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who does not know Christ as their Saviour, may today be the day that they call upon his name. Father, for those who have specific needs, you know the hearts of each of you, your children here today, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd help us, Lord, that you would encourage us, and that you would equip us, as it were, for the walk that lies in front of us. For we ask these things in Christ's perfect, precious, and wonderful name. Amen. Christmas is something that is anticipated. It always amazes me. Yesterday, we are quite organized. Joe is quite organized, and the fact that this is a busy time of year, so we try and get everything done as early as possible. And we forgot something, which meant that we had to go to the shops yesterday. Oh, exactly. And I thought, why did we forget that? Well, there's only one item, and there's only one place we could get it from, so we had to go back to the shops. And it amazed me at how many people there were almost panicking, as it were, to get that last minute item. And you think to yourself, you've known for 365 days that Christmas is coming. Now, I don't know about you, but Joe will actually start buying a few bits and pieces in the January sales ready for next year. So if you ever get anything from us that's out of date, that's the reason. But the point is this, we know Christmas is coming, and yet, for a lot of people, it catches them by surprise. Oh, panic buying, you know, I wonder how many people will be out today just buying stuff ready for tomorrow. They knew it was coming. The point I'm trying to make is this. Israel knew the Messiah was coming. Israel knew that the Messiah was on his way. It had been prophesied that the Messiah would come. But this event has not been anticipated for 365 days. This event has been anticipated for millennia. This event has been anticipated for hundreds and hundreds of years. It was foretold through the prophets. It was foretold in the scripture. It was foretold in the Garden of Eden. It was prophesied by the major prophets, the minor prophets. It was written down in the Word of God. But so many people missed it. God had promised a Savior, but people missed Him when He came the first time. The reason that they missed it is because they weren't prepared. The reason people a panic buy-in today is because they're not prepared. They've put it off. I'll go shopping at a more convenient time. Let me tell you something. There is no convenient time to go shopping. There isn't. Because it's of the devil. There is not a time that anyone in their sane mind would say, yee, shopping. It's horrendous. I said anyone in their sane mind, Michelle. It's horrendous. But what people do is they put it off. And they say, oh, we'll do it at a more convenient time. I'll do it when it's convenient for me. I'll do it when it feels right. It never feels right. For me anyway. Amen. And this is what happens. The Messiah was promised, but people weren't prepared. They weren't looking for Him. They weren't anticipating Him. They were so busy with a whole host of other things. I wonder how many households tomorrow now will come to do something for Christmas dinner, and all of a sudden they'll realise they've not got the gravy brown in, they've not got the oxo cubes, they've not got flour for whatever it is, and suddenly realise that because of everything else that's gone on, they've missed one detail that they do Christmas time. And that's what happened in Israel. People were too busy, too preoccupied, too focused on the wrong things to recognize that the Messiah had come at the exact time that God said He would come. The scriptures tell us that after these days of Mary's purification, when Christ is about 40 days old, His parents take Him to the temple to present Him to the Lord, offer a sacrifice to God as prescribed in the Lord. And when they get there, they are met by a man by the name of Simeon. So who is he? Who is this man? We know his name. Verse 25 says that this man was a just man, a devout man. This man was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and that the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was a just man, a devout man. He was morally upright, a man who was fully consecrated to the Lord. He was a man who was waiting for the Savior's birth. He was a man who was listening to the Lord's voice. He was a man who was studying the Word of God. He was a man who was waiting with anticipation the coming of the Messiah. It has been said that the shepherds in the fields were taught by the angels, but the Simeon the prophet was in the temple being taught by the Holy Spirit. And he's not a person that we tend to think of at Christmas time. Why? Because, well, it was 40 days after Christ was born that Christ was presented in the temple and that Simeon comes on the scene. But yet we're happy to include the wise men in the Christmas story, and they didn't come until 2 years after the Lord was born. Possibly. Simeon is not a person that we tend to think of. But who is he? Some scholars have suggested that Simeon was the son of the famous Rabbi Hillel, the father of Paul's tutor Gamaliel. This Simeon became president of the Sanhedrin in AD 13. The Mishnah, however, doesn't tell us. Even when it mentions great rabbis and their achievements, it ignores Simeon. Is he ignored because of his belief in Christ as the Messiah? Whoever he was looking for the consolation of Israel. This phrase was used among the Jews as a formula of blessing. So where was he? We know who he was. He was Simeon, possibly a rabbi, possibly a teacher in Jerusalem. Where was he? He was where he should have been. He was in the temple. He was waiting with anticipation. He was waiting with expectation. He was waiting for the salvation of the Lord. He was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. He was waiting for God's words, for God's promises to come to pass. He was where he should have been. You know, oftentimes we as believers are not blessed by the Lord because we're not where we should be. Joe always says the same thing. I don't know if she came up with this or if she heard it somewhere or, but it's something that really sticks. If it's important to you, you make the effort. If it's not important to you, you'll make the excuse. And can I say the church to some people is just not worth the effort? And we'll make the excuse, the stupidest of excuses, to not be where God wants us to be. Simeon was where he should have been. Simeon was where God wanted him to be. And as a result, God blessed him. God spoke to him. And God used him in a wonderful way. You imagine, let's say for argument's sake that Simeon has gone to the temple every possible day that he could. What if this was the day that he said, I don't feel like going today. I'm not well enough to go today. I got something else on today. He'd have missed what he was waiting for his whole life. You know, I hate missing church. And one of the reasons is because you know that if you miss church, that's normally the service that the Lord does something. And then you come back the next week and everybody says, oh, what a service last week. Like, I missed that one. Can you imagine if Simeon just said, I don't feel like going to the temple today. So he doesn't go to the temple. And what happens? The Lord Jesus Christ shows up. Is another case oftentimes when that one time we say, well, I don't feel like going today, and we don't go, and that's the day, as it were, that the Lord shows up in such a way that you just can't explain, you just feel His manifest presence in the service. Simeon was where he should have been. So what was he like? Well, verse 25 through to 27 tells us. It says that he was controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost was upon him. The name Simeon means hearing. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This suggests that Simeon spent much time in the Scripture. The Old Testament Jew revered the Scripture. The Old Testament, however, was full of unobtainable precepts, unfulfilled promises, unexplained procedures. And in Romans 7, Paul explains his inability to keep the law. To what purpose were all of the endless sacrifices? What about the multitude of prophecies that remained unfulfilled? Simeon understood that these seeming deficiencies were fulfilled in one person. Daniel 9:24-26 says, 70 weeks are determined upon my people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 72 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And at the end of the war, desolations are determined. Simeon knew that Christ was the answer. Christ was the one that filled in all the blanks. The Spirit of God made it clear to Simeon. The Spirit of God made it clear that Simeon would see the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? The Bible tells us clearly, Daniel tells us clearly then, when you work out weeks, this means 7 years, and when you work it out, 69 weeks, the time, 69 times 10 is 483 years is going to pass before Messiah is cut off. So as Simeon studies the Word of God, he knows that they're up to around about from the time that they agreed to build the temple, that decree by Cyrus, going all the way through to this period of time, is now about 450 years there or thereabouts. So I wonder how long it's been since Simeon has been scanning the crowd to see who the Messiah is. God has revealed to him that he would see the Lord. Can you imagine Simeon coming to church, as it were, coming to the temple every day with expectation, waiting to see the Lord, coming every single day, possibly for the last 20 years of his life, coming every single day, maybe this is the day, maybe this is the day, maybe this is the day. How many of us come to church with that expectation? Maybe the Lord will show up today. Maybe the Lord will do something today. Maybe the Lord will speak to me today. Maybe the Lord will show me something today. Do we come with that same expectation, that same excitement? You know, the Lord didn't reveal the Messiah to Simeon, possibly for his whole life up until this point. But he still had the same excitement. He still had the same anticipation. He still had the same expectation. Simeon was led by the Spirit of God, taught by the Word of God, obedient to the will of God. He's proof that a life led by the Spirit will be sold out to the Lord. It's a life that always looks for the Lord in every circumstance. Can I say this? That we don't understand everything that goes on in our lives. We don't understand why certain things happen in our lives. We don't understand why the Lord allows certain things to happen. But do we still trust Him anyway? We've said time and time and time again, it's easy to praise the Lord when everything goes our way. But can we still praise Him in the difficult times? Can we still praise Him when things happen to us that we don't understand, that we can't explain? It's easy for people to say, oh yeah, well you should praise the Lord all the time. But when you go through a trial, when you go through a storm, when you go through a time of difficulty, it's easy to say it to others. But when we go through that ourselves, it's tough. And we don't always understand why the Lord allows certain circumstances and situations to come into our lives. But we've still got to trust Him. Can we look for the Lord in every circumstance of our life? Simeon teaches us that when we allow the Holy Spirit to control our life, God does reveal Himself. God does show Himself. In verse 26, we are told that it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He knew that he was going to see the Messiah. He knew that he was going to see the Lord. Can you imagine that excitement? Every day that he went to the temple thinking, maybe today, maybe today, maybe today. John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This wasn't some old weirdo that spent his days wandering around the temple hoping to meet the Saviour. This was a man who studied the Scripture. This was a man who knew exactly what the Lord was saying. This was a man who was told that when the Saviour would be born, that he would see him. This is a man who waited patiently in the temple. He knew what the law said. He knew where Messiah would be born. He knew that after Messiah would be born, in order to fulfill the law perfectly, they would have to bring the child to the temple to offer those sacrifices under the Lord, to dedicate the child unto God. So where is he going to see the Messiah? In the one place that he will definitely show up, and that's in the temple. He wasn't there because he had a special revelation that no one else had, because he had the same word that everybody had access to. He was simply there to see the Saviour, because he had taken time to see what everybody else had simply rejected in the Word of God. Simeon simply confronts us lovingly with this question today. Who is controlling our lives? Whose voice are we listening to? Are we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, led by the Spirit? Are we listening to the Lord's voice? Is he on the throne of our lives verbally, or is he on the throne of our lives in action and deed? Simeon's words and works went together. He was willing to die to self that he might live for Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Simeon, what was he like? He was controlled by the Holy Spirit. He was prepared for death. It says in verse 28 that he took up the Lord Jesus Christ in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. All of these years of anticipation, Simeon coming into the temple every day, scanning the crowd as it were. Every time a young couple came in with a baby, Simeon, you can almost sense the excitement. Is this the Messiah? Is this the one? Is this the couple? Is this the family? And then one day it happens. He's there praying to God. He's there praising the Lord for all that he's done, and all of a sudden, Mary and Joseph come to present their offering to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit says to Simeon, that's him. That's him. That's who you've been waiting for. That's the one that you've spent all of these years coming to the temple waiting for in expectation. This is the one the prophets have written about. This is the one that God spoke directly to Adam and Eve about. This is the one that Daniel prophesied about. This is the one that Isaiah prophesied about. This is the one that Micah prophesied about, where he would be born. This is the one that the Scriptures have spoken of. This is the one that God said you would see before you die. This is the Messiah that Israel has been waiting for. The old man gazed into the baby's face, and there he sees God manifest in the flesh. Instantly, the Bible says he was ready to go. Thy servant, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. That doesn't mean, right, I've seen the Lord now, I'm off, have a good one, go in peace. It literally means I'm ready to die. I've seen what I've been waiting for, and now I'm ready to die. As much as we are prepared for Christmas, because we know it's coming, how many people in the world today are prepared for death? They know it's coming. It's not a topic we like to talk about. It's not something we like to think about. It's something we'd rather put off until we were older. But at some point in every single one of our lives here today, that life is going to come to an end. Are we prepared for death? Simeon was prepared for death because he knew who his Savior was. For Simeon, death was no longer a devourer, but a deliverer. Are we prepared to meet the Lord? By one man, sin has entered the world, and death by sin, but because of Christ's death upon the cross, all can be saved by calling upon the name of the Lord. Are we ready to leave this world? Are we ready to depart in peace? The Bible doesn't say, get ready. The Bible says, be ready. Are we ready to leave this world? Are we prepared to meet the Savior? Have we made the correct preparations? Simeon was ready to go. For the believer, we can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's encouraging to note that the word there, depart. Now let us, thy servant, depart in peace. The word there for depart means to set free, to release a prisoner, to acquit one accused of a crime, to set him at liberty, to release a debtor. Paul used the same word in 2 Timothy 4, 6-7, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. The time of my being set free is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Death simply frees the believer in Christ from the burden of this life and leads him to the blessings of eternity with our God and Savior. Simeon was prepared for death. Simeon cared for the lost. Verse 31 and 32 makes it clear that he knew that Christ was the light of the world. Maybe Isaiah 42:6 flashes into Simeon's mind. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. That's what he says in verse 32 of Luke chapter 2. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The salvation was not just for the Jewish people. Salvation was for the world. The whole world. Simeon knew by faith what Jesus would later tell Nicodemus and the Apostle Paul would later tell the churches at Galatia. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for all are one in Christ. Simeon's life lovingly asks us, what are we doing to show that we care for the lost? If we really care for the lost, wouldn't we tell them about what awaits them after death? If we really cared for people, wouldn't we share with them what is on the other side? Christ came to save the lost. Christ came to set the captive free. Christ came to lighten those that live in darkness. Christ came to open the eyes of the blind. Christ came to heal those who were broken in heart. Christ came to bring salvation to all. But all must call upon his name. Simeon was controlled by the Holy Ghost. He cared for the lost. He was prepared for death. But he also knew the Word of God. I think a lot of times the reason we are afraid to share our faith with anybody is because we don't really know the Word of God as we should. Simeon was a source of blessing to Mary and Joseph because he shared the Word of God with them. When speaking about Christ, he used three important images: the stone, the sign, and the sword. He said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And in verse 34 it says, "Simeon blessed them and said to Mary's mother, Behold, this child is set for a fall and rising against many, again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, and the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed." This child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel. A stone is an important Old Testament image of God. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock. Psalm 71:3 says, for thou art my rock. Acts 4:11 says that this is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. The nation of Israel would stumble over this stone. Romans 9:32, wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Christ has become a stumbling block to many. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:3, where we preach Christ crucified, who unto the Jews a stumbling block. A stumbling block, but unto the Greeks foolishness. He's become a stumbling block to many people, but we know to us he's the rock of our salvation. Christ said to Peter, upon this rock, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He's a rock of strength. He's the proper foundation upon which all that we have is built upon. I wonder, is he still a stumbling block to you? Maybe you're here this morning and you still stumble over the fact that you have to come to Christ for salvation. Or is he you a rock? Is he a source of strength in a time of weakness? Is he a source of protection in a time of storm? Is he somebody that you cling to in a time of hopelessness? It says, Simeon goes on to say that he would be a sign which was spoken against all, a sign for which shall be spoken against. The word sign means a miracle. Not so much as a demonstration of power, but as a revelation of divine truth. His birth was a miracle of God, and yet they slandered it. In John 8:41, they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. Christ was a miracle sent by God to a lost and dying world, and yet Christ was rejected by those he came to save. His birth was a miracle, and yet they mocked it. They said his miracles were done by the power of Satan, Matthew 12, and they brought him one possessed of the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They mocked his birth and said that he was one born in fornication. They rejected his miracles and said that these miracles were done by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They rejected his death. They slandered his death. They lied about his resurrection. They bribed people to say that Christ's body was simply stolen. Everything that he did for mankind was rejected and mocked and disbelieved in his lifetime, just as much as it is today. Even today, people speak against the fact that he's coming again. Even today, people reject the fact that he died upon the cross. He simply fainted. Can I say this? If he fainted after all that he went through, and here's an interesting thing, if he simply fainted upon the cross, Peter and the disciples fled in panic and fear when the Messiah died upon the cross of Calvary. Can you imagine if Christ had simply fainted upon the cross and then came out of the tomb, his body was still battered and beaten and bruised? Can you imagine the disciples being reinvigorated by a broken body, as it were? They were changed because the man that came out of the tomb wasn't a beaten, battered body of somebody who simply fainted upon the cross, but he was a resurrected Savior. God in the flesh, as it were. He came in his deity, and as a result, he changed the disciples' lives so that they went into Jerusalem no longer hiding and fearful for their lives, but they went out preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. They were changed because of what Christ did in their lives. They weren't following a beaten, battered believer body. They were following God. Simeon says a sword shall pierce through his own soul that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The Greek word for sword was a large sword, such as was used by Goliath. And you can see that in 1 Samuel 17:51. But the verb that Simeon used, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, it means constantly keeping on piercing. Can you imagine how much Mary went through the life of her son? When Christ came, you imagine the burden that was on her heart after all that she... And we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. You know, what must Mary and Joseph as just normal earthly parents tasked with the responsibility of looking after the Messiah, looking after Emmanuel, looking after the Savior of this world, the burden that was upon them. But you imagine as Mary saw her son being rejected, as Mary heard time and time again those taunts of the fact that he was born of fornication, time and time again hearing the gossip and the whispers of those around her, to stand at the cross of Calvary and to see the one that she'd brought into this world dying upon that cross, not maybe fully understanding what was going on and what God's purpose was in all of that. How much did Mary and Joseph understand of God's great plan for this child? Simeon simply knew the word of God. And Simeon shares with Mary and Joseph what God has laid upon his heart. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But Romans 10:14 says, but how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Simeon had waited for something. And when he finally saw it, he couldn't help but tell her this. I wonder if we take a leaf out of Simeon's book, as it were, this Christmas time. For those who know Christ as their Saviour, for those who've been changed, for those who've been touched, for those who have been saved by the grace of God, do we know the Word of God enough to tell others about Him? Simeon is not somebody that normally makes the Christmas story, as it were, or fits into the church's version of the Christmas story, for want of a better word. But Simeon teaches us a lot about what to do, as it were, with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Will we ask God at this Christmas time to give us the strength to stand in a world that has turned Christmas into something that, for the Christian, makes no sense? Christmas is about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we be controlled by the Spirit? Are we prepared for death to know that if anything were to happen to us today, we'd be with Him forever? Do we care for lost souls? Do we know the Word of God enough to share with others? What Christmas character best sums up us? I wonder. Let me ask you this question and we'll close with this thought. For whatever reason, tomorrow morning's service in church is one of the most special services we have throughout the whole year. And I do know why. I think I have a theory. And I think there's a purpose why it's so different. Because people come with expectation. Can you imagine if we came to every service the same way, with the same level of expectation? How different would our Sundays be? Simeon came to the temple every Sunday, every day, with that same level of expectation. And I think that's the leaf I want to take
out of Simeon's book. Do we come to church with our same level of expectation? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day and time together. We just pray now, Lord, that you bless us as we leave, Lord. I pray that you would help those, Lord, who share their faith with those who are lost. And Father, I pray that people would understand that Christmas is not a time, Lord, for drunken celebrations, that Christmas is not an excuse to just eat as much as you can and drink as much as you can. But Father, help us as believers to show people the true meaning of Christmas, that lives can indeed be changed, that souls can indeed be saved because of all that Christ did upon that cross of Calvary for them. So Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be more faithful in our walk with thee. Help us to be a Simeon. Help us, Lord, to come to church every time with that expectation that we too would see the Lord. Father, we just give you all the glory and praise and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing our last hymn together. That one. Is this the one we got wrong on Sunday? Okay. We'll have a practice then. Julian could close us in a word.